on today's Into Your Head podcast number 710. I teach myself a few home truths about caffeine and lots more. This explanation could be a little bit complicated, which is ironic because it doesn't need to be explained at all. There's no reason for you to hear this at all, but I feel for the sake of continuity, for those of you who also listen to my free extras and reruns feed, a separate podcast, last time you heard from me was show 709. I did a very, very caffeinated episode. Later in the evening, I came back and made special steps to wind down, and I did an Afterlude 709 show. You can find that over on my Extras and Reruns feed, intoyourhead.com/extras, or just search iTunes for Into Your Head, and you'll find the other feed. It has all sorts of extra crap like that, the occasional new thing, lots of old stuff from the huge archives. The reason I bring all that up is because I've just done that winding down session. I'm still winding down. The whole purpose of that winding down session was that I had become too over caffeinated while making the previous episode, so I recorded an afterlude in which I wound down using special methods available to me, which I'd rather only to refer to on the other feed. So if you want to hear it, don't worry, it's nothing illegal. I'm not on drugs or any, well, not really. No, I'm not on any. I'm not here smoking marijuana. No. I am becoming far less caffeinated than I was, though. Suffice to say, we've achieved our aims in that regard. But now I find myself here already starting the next show, which wasn't going to start until tomorrow morning when I was going to get caffeinated again. Well, this will serve as a warning to my future self. When you sit down to make this show today, remember how over caffeinated you got yesterday, and remember what you had to do in the evening to sort yourself out. It was fucking ridiculous. Find some happy medium, me of the future, who, as you listen to this, are your me of the present, and I'm the me of the past. I'm no more real now than the you that you see in that photograph that you have of you eating cornflakes with long hair at your kitchen table in 1980 or so. If I can tell you, that fella's as real as you. He's replaced most of his skin cells several million times by now, but he's still you. He grew up to be you. Well, he didn't just get replaced and recloned or something. No, he's still you. That 4-year-old who you were 30 years ago or 33 years ago, whatever, he's still you, and I'm still you. I'm the you from yesterday evening. I'm the same you. I may sound different. I may be a bit more relaxed than the you of the previous further past 12 hours ago, or the you now who's listening to this, who's probably on your second quadruple espresso of the morning, all cocky, thinking, oh, I'm going to get all caffeinated and do two shows in a row. No, just take it easy. take it easy, or you'll end up having to do this all over again. It'd be like Back to the Future, except with podcasting. And it's funny you should mention that. So it's not at all, because I've mentioned this several times on the podcast. See, this is how you fucked up your brain today. You're once again mentioning to the listeners, you've heard her hundreds of times already, the fascinating fact that podcasting from is the same table that was the kitchen table when you sat in that photo when you were 4 years old. You're going to bore the crap off them by telling them that again. This is what happens if you abuse things like caffeine and the other things, caffeine and milk and whatever else. No, don't be doing that. Anyway,
On the show.
This is still the me of yesterday evening. The wound down me. I don't seem to be in the mood to go to bed yet. For one thing, it's only 4:45 in the afternoon. So I thought I might as well do a bit more. It'll save the future me a bit of work tomorrow. I hope he's grateful. Anyway, two dogs walk into a pharmacy. One of the dogs goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, do you have any vitamin C?" And the man behind the bar says, "Is this some sort of a joke?" And the dog says, hopefully, that's usually what these premises are in aid of. Or maybe if it turns into something that's just interesting but not funny, doesn't necessarily have to be a joke, just needs to either entertain or stimulate or fascinate. And the man behind the counter says, "Well, we do indeed have vitamin C. We also have vitamin D. You're a dog, you probably want vitamin D, do you?" And the dog says, "Are you sure you're a real pharmacist?" And the man behind the counter says, "No, I'm not a real pharmacist at all. I'm a sales assistant here. The real pharmacist is the fella. I'm the go-between between you and the real pharmacist. If you need his work, which is more highly paid than mine and therefore more highly treasured, you need to hand me a prescription, then I'll hand it to him and he'll come up to you when he's good and ready. It's the same as any other medical system. The more highly qualified, more expensive staff spend as little time as possible with the patient, and anything that can be done by underlings such as myself is left to us to make maximum use of the highly skilled medics. But since you're only here for vitamins, I don't think that's going to be an issue. So anyway, vitamin C, was it? Do you want the ones that taste like honey?" And the dog says, "Christ no, I'm a dog. Have you ever tasted dog food? What type of taste do you think we like?" And the woman behind the counter says, "Oh, don't answer that. He's Julianne. The dog's being a smart arse. Just give him the normal capsules that you swallow. They don't have a taste." And the dog says, "Actually, no. Thank you for trying to help there, but I do need the chewable vitamins, because otherwise I won't take them unless I enjoy them. I need the motivation. Do you have any of those children's chewy vitamins that taste of something that a dog would like, or that at least ones that, or maybe ones that are all of a different flavour, so at least it satisfies my curiosity to try each flavour once?" And the man behind the counter says, "Oh, that's a good idea, I must admit. Although, would you not be better going to the vet for this? The vet has a big shop full of stuff." And the dog says, "The vet is frigging a mile out of town. I'd have to go in the car and go have him stick my head out the window panting and have people looking at me going, 'Ha, look at how cute that dog is.' And for another thing, I'm not into cars. I'd rather just walk down to our local pharmacist, which I have." And the woman behind the man behind the counter says, I understand. Well, here's a box of this stuff. That'll be €4.79, please." And the dog says, "I think I probably have a government medical card." And the woman says, "Well, where is it?" And the dog says, "I don't know. I have an owner who looks after that sort of thing." And the woman says, "Well, those things don't usually cover veterinary care." And the dog says, "Oh, I wonder why they give them out to my my owner then, because she's a bit of a dog. Ho, 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 ho." And the man behind the counter says, "You do realise you just made a joke at the expense of your own species?" And the dog says, "Yes, I do. That's called having a bit of sense of humour, a bit of sense of self-derisory humour, and it's a sign of character. You do well to learn from that." And the man behind the counter says, "I'm not going to learn anything from a dog. If I wanted to learn from dogs, I'd have become a vet." And the dog says, that's fair enough. I think you should continue this really when you're back in your morning caffeinated form." And the dog says, sorry, you weren't supposed to hear that. Well, you were, to you who's recording this, but they weren't. I was just saying to them they weren't supposed to hear that. I don't know how this works. I'm not very good at this. I'm just a dog. No, it's fine, dog. You're doing perfectly fine. You're just a figment of my imagination and you're about to die. Now, that's probably a sign for me to go to bed, or at least abandon this for today, because if I'm saying stuff like, you're a figment of my imagination and you're going to die, then what have I accidentally slurred and said, you're a fragment of my imagination and you're going to die? That could have caused a whole physical section of the part of my brain that creates my imagination to die off. And I come back here tomorrow morning and try and go do a new two dogs walking to a bar story or something similar and find nothing comes out. Nothing comes out, no matter how much coffee I pour down, there's nothing. So I better be careful there. I better watch myself. I better take a rain check. It's not raining out at the moment, but that's not. Well, look, there's a notepad. I have a what do you call it here? Ah, you know, one of them post-it pads here. It looks to me like it's two different post-it pads stuck together. You can do that. You can stick them together. You can put one on top of the other and pretend they were together all along. No one's none the wiser, because you only give them out separately anyway. Any that you do pass on. Anyway, let's write on this. I write a note to myself. Oh, that pen is not working. I'll try the black. Hello, self. I'll could just record this, couldn't I? There's no need to be wasting post-its writing notes to myself when I have a perfectly good recording system here, backed up all over the place. It's up online and everywhere. There's no need for that crap. Hello, me of the sweet future self. I just wanted to leave a note here in the audio to explain that this is still me, the you trying to wind down yesterday evening after you had too much coffee. So when you come along, I just like to point out I recorded about 10 minutes of audio for you for today's show. Hope you're grateful. That'll get you off to a good start. This is a nice little present for you from the you of the past. 10 minutes already done towards tomorrow's recordings. Now, whether it'll be usable, that's another question. That's not for the likes of me to decide. That's for the likes of you. But I'm sure you'll be perfectly well able to edit out any unneeded bits and find a gold in there somewhere. There's gold in them, bollocks. There's gold in them there troughs and alleys of sound waves that I see on my screen. There's bound to be gold in there somewhere. The interface here shows them all as just different shades of green, so it's hard to detect the gold here. You have to listen back to it with the benefit of being awake, which I don't have at the moment. I have the benefit of being relaxed, but that'll only get you so far. Being relaxed in this world will only get you so far, so you have to divide your day into times when you're relaxed and times when you're alert, and times when you're deciding when you need to be alert and when you need to be relaxed. Those are called planning periods. You need to plan for those as well. So you need to be a bit more organized if you're going to live life like this. Maybe, frankly, you shouldn't live life like this. The only way to find out whether it's by experimenting, isn't it? That's what the kids say now. That's their excuse now when they say stuff. They say, oh, I experimented with caffeine for a while, and then I experimented with a sleep aid, and then I experimented with leaving instructions for the caffeinated me of the future. Only because I know damn well the caffeinated me of the future can't come back and leave a response to me, whether he likes what I did or not. I know he's not going to be able to reach back into the past and punch me in the face, because it doesn't work like that. It's a one-way timular communication system. But it's a miracle we have that much, that I can communicate through time into the future to my future self, but he can't communicate back. He's sickened now when he listens back to this. He's thinking, I can't go back and do anything about him other than delete him, in which case then I'll have to replace it with something, and I'll have to take responsibility for the quality of it, rather than blaming him. So remains to be seen what he'll do. Remains to be seen and heard. Note to my future self. When I was saying that I could have accidentally said Fragment instead of figment. What he actually meant was fragment instead of figment. There was no word fragment involved. That's probably going to complicate things further for all of us now. But no. Getting a bit slurred, as I believe was the point I was trying to prove. So I suppose I just proved myself even more correct than I was. So well done me. Do you want another story? Might as well press record now. Don't feel like stopping 38 seconds in. That feels like you've done nothing, even though it is just leaving another note for the future me. Two cats walk into a cheese production facility. One of the cats goes straight up to the foreman and said, "Hello, why is this called a production facility rather than a factory?" And foreman says, "Haven't a clue. I just work here. I'm not a frigging branding expert or whatever you call it. I don't know why you'd need to brand a factory anyway. But even if I did, I wouldn't be working here. Why would you brand a factory? You brand the product, not the factory." And the cat says, "That's exactly my point. You could just call it. In fact, you've just called it a factory. Yes, I was asking you, why do you call it a production facility? You called it a factory in your reply. Doesn't that just go to show how ridiculous it is?" And the foreman says, "You're damn right. I just happen to be the fella in charge of the local union here. So what I'm going to do now is call everyone together and have a ballot on whether to strike over the name of our factory." And the cat says, "Really?" And the foreman says, "No, I'm not, you fucking idiot. I'm just going to tell everyone to make sure they don't say to anyone that they saw a cat in the freaking factory. This is a food production facility, stroke factory, whatever we call it. We can't have cats in here. If anyone sees you, we could get shut down and excommunicated and all the rest of it." And the cat says, "Well, I'm a cat." I don't know if that's much of an argument, quite frankly, but I just thought I'd throw it in. It's the best I've got. I know I'm a cat, so I know I'm right about that. I don't know if it helps with the argument at all, but I know that if I'm a cat and I say, "But I'm a cat," it can only be true. And the foreman says, "Nice try. Now get the fuck out of here." And the cat says, fair enough. "I should probably let you know there's a friend of mine in here too. I don't know where he's gone, because usually two of us come in and one goes straight up to the foreman or the bar or wherever we're going, but the other one is never mentioned again. Now usually if it was a bar, he'd presumably be gone to the toilet or gone to find a seat while I order around, but I don't know where we go in here." And the foreman says, "Well, I'll get everyone searching for him now. You go way outside and stay out of view of the car park, please." The cat says, "Fair enough. Sorry for any trouble I've inconvenienced you with. I don't want to inconvenience you with any trouble. I only came in for, a reason that I haven't yet thought of, to be perfectly honest. But still, no harm intended, and hopefully none done."
Into your head.
Support the Podcastual Arts at no cost to you, just by sending Neil money. Visit intoyourhead.com and click on the tip jar to make a once-off donation. intoyourhead.com.
Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener. Email studio@intoyourhead.com.
studio@intoyourhead.com.
Are you a cat? Or do you know somebody who might be? Then tell yourself about Matchstick Cats, Neil's webcomic. Brand new episodes at intoyourhead.com.
Oh, hello, it's me again. Still the winding down me of the evening before. I just wanted to mention, I just noticed that there is a foreman in there who was mentioned a few times, and I just thought I'd like to point out that it might have been more entertaining if on the last few times I'd mentioned him, I'd have said the aforementioned foreman. Oh, that would be entertaining in any way. I suppose we'll find out when I listen back to this on caffeine tomorrow. it's worth a try. No point keeping these things to yourself. If you have a fine idea, as Thomas Edison and the likes of Professor Stephen Hawking and Jim Henson and the fella who created Spider-Man, and who else? The fella who invented penicillin, and the man who thought of what to say when you put your first foot on the moon, as they all say. If you're going to come up with an idea, make damn sure to Christ as hell that you pass it on to someone before you die. Don't leave it locked up in some so-called safe somewhere. Being locked up maybe a safe thing if you don't want anyone else to get it. But if you want someone else to get it, well, I suppose you could lead them a hammer. If you want to lock up the secrets in a safe, leave an axe with them and instructions on how to use it. Or else don't. I don't know. Lock up the safe. I don't know what to do. But just do rethink while you do that, for Christ's sake. So anyway, the aforementioned foreman, just thought I'd mention it. I go up to someone and say, "Ah, hello, I'm the aforementioned foreman." Although that would have to be in the correct context, because the other person would go, "No one's mentioned a foreman to me so far during this meeting that I'm at. You just popped your head in and you're assuming that you were mentioned already." And foreman will then be, he'll be downcast and downtrodden. He'll think, "Christ, haven't even been mentioned in the meeting in the factory in which I run everything all day, every day. I pop my head in 3 hours into the meeting and find out that I still don't qualify as an aforementioned foreman. What the hell am I here for?" And then he'll probably be off sick with depression for the next 8 years. You have to train in someone else to be the foreman. And he'll be called the afterman by the older staff to say, he's not really the foreman, he's just the afterman. He was a replacement for that fella. He'll probably come back one day as well. He'll probably come back, and then what'll happen? There'll be a fella who's the foreman again, and then there'll be a fella who's a former afterman, but now he's a pre-man again. Although he'll be well equipped with skills as an understudy in the still, no one will be happy about that. That's not a situation you want to leave a workplace in. So just make damn sure, if you're running a meeting, the fellow who does all the work pops his head in, the first thing you say is something along the lines of, hello, we were just talking about you. Don't worry, nothing bad. Ho, 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 ho. Come in and have a seat. Make damn sure there's a spare seat there as well, because otherwise it's just going to look like a load of bollocks, which indeed it is. But sometimes bollocks, if you do it properly, you can make 710 episodes of them and still be getting away with it. Although, am I getting away with this? I don't know. Have I been caught? No, I haven't been arrested for podcasting. It's not illegal in this country. It would only be illegal if I was running one of those pirate radio stations, which I'm not. I'm not running a pirate radio station. I have no interest in that sort of thing. The radio is for ship to shore. Is that a song? Yes, it is. Christelberg, ship to shore, can you read me anymore before my ship starts sinking? Ship to shore. Answer. He did Lady in Red as well, didn't he? He said, "Lady in Red is talking to me, sheep to sheep." And then everyone decided they didn't like him. He went out of fashion, went completely out of fashion. He was an Irish singer. He's still an Irish singer. He's just one of those more famous abroad in weird countries where they like that sort of thing type of Irish singer. I'm sure he's still doing well somewhere. And he still has hair, so that can't be a bad thing. He still has a fringe at his age. That's never a bad sign. I don't know if it's a good sign either. When you look at Gary, that's not Gary Glitter. Does he still have, no, Gary Glitter, never mind that. Anyway, suffice to say, on with the show.
Follow Neil at twitter.com/intoyourheadpod and pretend to like him at facebook.com/intoyourheadpodcast.
Monkey nuts. I wonder, are they caffeinated? If I was to sit down and eat some monkey nuts now, Would that undo all the good work I've been doing in winding down over the last half hour or so? I don't know. I'm not going to go trying it now, not least because I'm not going to go out and buy monkey nuts at this hour of a Saturday afternoon. Christ, no. And in this stage, no. Here in Ireland, can you get monkey nuts other than at Halloween? Not sure. You'd probably have to go somewhere specialist, or at least get down to Lidl, which is right down the other end of the town. You wouldn't get, but you damn sure to Christ as hell you won't find monkey nuts in my local so-called convenience store today. No, they only have to been the run up to Halloween. Although now that you mention it, the run up to Halloween is coming. It's nearly September now. Once you're in September, you're nearly in October, and they'll all be selling their illegal fireworks and their illegal monkey nuts. We're coming up to the monkey nut season. Hadn't occurred to me till now. I've been distracted by too much else in life. But no. We're getting for the time of year when monkey nuts become the be-all and end-all. Monkey nuts and bonfires and cash, everything else gets out, takes a back seat. They say that as if it's a bad thing for whoever's taking a back seat, though. Taking a back seat is a luxurious way to travel. You have someone driving, you have the back seat to yourself for to share with someone who you like. Sometimes if it's a big posh car, they give you a glass of champagne, maybe a ham and cheese toasted sandwich. Toasted, mind you, that's the difference that separates the posh ones from the non-posh ones. If you're in a classy backseat of a car, when your ham and cheese sandwich is toasted and it's on the plate and it's not just taken out of a lunchbox that you have in a bag that's around your waist. No. Although you probably know that already. You'd know whether you're poor or rich. You wouldn't need to check by what type of ham and cheese sandwich you're holding. Don't be fucking ridiculous. If you don't know by then whether you're rich or poor, then it probably doesn't matter to you. In which case, good for you. That's the way to live. That's the way to live, especially in today's society, or in any other society. Any other society of the past that I know of. I can't speak for future. Societies. I can speak for tomorrow morning society when I'll come in here with my caffeine buzz and going, what in the name of Christ went on here? What in the name of all that? And then I'll say to myself, you know damn well what went on in here was you. And then I'll say, oh yes, I suppose that's true. I was just trying to be dramatic about it, for Christ's sake. I was trying to be a bit dramatic and interesting. And then I'll say, I won't say anything. I think that'll be the end of it. There's only so far you can take that, really, if we're realistic about it. But no. Where are we? 26 minutes of a programme done. The future me mightn't need to make an appearance at all. If I push myself for another couple of minutes here, then it can be just me. It'll be like a little coup. Me of the past will have done a coup. I can tell you, I've earned the right to do so. I made a special afterlude, and then I started making this, and then I did this. I'm still doing stuff on the harmonica. You might as well. Where's my bongo? Bongos, might as well. I might as well take out the bongos. They were never put away anywhere. They were just on the back of the table there. I never know what to do with them, though. That's no offence to the bongos. They're fine bongos. I'm learning that I'm not a percussionist by nature. That's a thing I didn't know about myself until quite recently. But no, I'm not really a percussionist by nature. I think I'm more of a drumming percussionist. I might be a keyboardist, because I noticed my first instinct whenever I grab hold of these bongos is to tap each of my fingers up and down separately as you would on the keyboard, but you all know that's wrong. You're supposed to use the flats of your hands and do this. Maybe if I use these earwaxed cleansing things as sticks, like drumsticks. Oh, now that's different. Oh, now I think I'm a little more comfortable with that. Hold on, what can we have? Two or three on the go at the same time. I'd have to become very flexible. It'll be good exercise for my fingers. This might take time to learn, but I think we're on to something here. There we go. We'll work on that more in the future. Anyway, suffice to say, good morning.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories about cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@interyourhead.com.